Welcome to Awakening Plus. It's March 23rd, 2021. I'm super excited today that we have our guest presenter, Judith Corvin Blackburn, LCSW and Doctor of Ministry. And tonight she's doing Reawaken Your DNA Light Codes. And she'll be telling you more about that, but I want to just give you a little bio on her. Judith is an award-winning author, is an internationally known teacher, transpersonal psychotherapist, and shamanic minister. She's been inspiring people to step into their joy, purpose, and inner authority for over 45 years. Judith's passion is to guide and empower individuals to heal their wounds and reclaim their true soul nature. This lets us transform planet Earth into the peaceful, loving, and creative place it's meant to be. She's written three books, most recently, Activating Your 5D Frequency, a guidebook to the journey into higher dimensions, which I have read and love. She also wrote Empowering the Spirit, a process to activate your soul potential. She wrote Journey to Wholeness, a guide to inner healing. She offers online classes to empower your spirit and activate your higher frequency potential. She is co-creator of the Global Shamanic Multidimensional Mystery School, and she has an e-list at empoweringthespirit.com, where you can get a free downloadable soul contracts meditation. Welcome, Judith.
Hey, thank you, Benjamin. Thank you for having me. I usually like to start out with a meditation, but I am thinking, since people are kind of moseying in, and it's a little hard when people kind of mosey in the middle of a meditation, I'll just speak a little bit about what we're going to do tonight, and then we'll go into the meditation. So we're like amazing beings, and as you're all waking up and things that like Benjamin offers, this Awakening Plus is, this is happening all over the globe. And at what we're really awakening to, I think, is who we're supposed to be and who we used to be, even on planet Earth way, 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 way long time ago, before some trauma, before what I call the dimensional descent, which actually deactivated our light codes. And so now we're in the process of waking this all up. And while I know many of you are already tuned in to this, we'll see how that all kind of maneuvers. Benjamin is set up if you have questions, and I love questions. Please let him know. I guess he said the way to do it is to unmute and he'll kind of pay attention. And if that gets distracting, we can do it in the chat. You just have to write question. Okay, so I think it's time to just do the meditation, which also centers me. And then we'll go more into the content. Oh, let me speak a little more, actually. I will speak a little more of this. So tonight we're going to look at not only who we really are and how we're reactivating that in ourselves and globally, we're also going to look at resistances, because we've been brought up in 3D. We've been conditioned with beliefs that have really held on for many, many thousands of years on this planet. And so the ability to move through those resistances, first of all, we have to acknowledge them because they're going to be there. And I know Benjamin had said, when he and I talked earlier, he does a lot of shadow work, and this group does a lot of shadow work, which is wonderful, because this is essential to really being able to fully step into this higher dimensional consciousness. Otherwise, we do it unevenly and typically without a good foundation. And it doesn't turn into the real deal, for lack of a better way to say that. And then we're going to close out with, I'm going to talk about multidimensionality, a little bit about the nine-dimensional axis, the vertical axis that I use, and also our horizontal axis. And then we're going to close out with the meditation to really let you fire up those cells and that DNA. All right, so if you would now, just go ahead and close your eyes. And just begin to really tune into your breath. Becoming fully aware as you exhale. and fully aware as you inhale. And on the exhale, release any distractions. Release any concerns. Let that breath push out anything that's come before this moment and anything that might come after this moment, leaving you fully open and present. And on the inhale, I'd like you to imagine that you're pulling in tiny golden spirals of light. And those golden spirals are filled with consciousness. They're filled with love. And as you draw them in, they begin to disperse to every cell in your body. You begin to feel your vibration shifting. You begin to feel the sense of spaciousness. A sense of feeling uplifted. And I'd like you to go to your hearts. Sometimes it's helpful just to put your hands over your heart chakra, high heart, breathing deeply into that, allowing yourself to tune in to your heart's love and also to divine love. And as you begin to feel that love expanding, I want you to bathe yourself in it and allow it again to disperse to all the cells in your body. To send it out to all those in our group tonight. Allowing yourself to receive as well as to send. And then just sending that love all around our planet, all around the globe. Realizing that there are groups all over doing the same thing as we really lift the frequency together. Of planet Earth. And so, whenever you feel complete, just go ahead and bring yourself back to your room, back to paying attention to the Zoom stuff. Sometimes if you went deep into trance, wiggling your fingers and toes helps. For those of you who are able to sense that spaciousness, were able to really tune in as your cells started vibrating more quickly, your DNA was getting activated. So what's the deal on this DNA? Well, as I said early on, we've all been here before, not just in other lifetimes, but prior, probably to about 12,000 years ago, there were very high civilizations on planet Earth. And I venture to say that everyone here was there. Okay, we know about Lemuria and Atlantis. We know that there are indigenous tribes all over the globe still who say they've come from star nations. The Cherokee, who are right around the eastern band of Cherokee, are right around the corner from me. They know they came from the Pleiades. The Dogon group in Africa came from Sirius. The Bushmen and the, I'm going to forget the tribe, but it'll come back to me. There's a very well-known African shaman called Credo Mutwa. And he is part Bushman and part this Zulu. They were amazing. Their eyesight was so keen that they could see the craters on the moon. Their hearing was so advanced, they could hear the spheres in the heavens turning. the Aborigine were sang into existence from the stars. We all have star DNA, which for the most part has been deactivated. As I say, probably 10, 12,000 years. One theory is that there were some cataclysmic things that went on, including the final cataclysm of Atlantis, which was where there was a huge tsunami, a huge earthquake, tsunami. Some people believe that it was intentional, that this came from some other star nations that did not have good intent, that were able to infiltrate. But also Atlantis had already been in a dimensional descent. Its heyday, if you will, as far as we know, is probably about 50,000 years ago. And much like Egypt, by the way, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit in my experience in Egypt, because that's when I really got tuned in to this idea of a dimensional descent. Probably after Atlantis fell, again, the story goes that there were outposts. And one story is that Thoth, actually, who's seen as a deity in the Egyptian Neteru, actually went to Egypt and brought the Emerald Tablets, which brought a lot of the higher consciousness learning to the Egyptians. I was in Egypt about 15 years ago on a shamanic journey, which was amazing. And what I began to understand was that the very, very ancient Egyptians, way before the pharaohs, were actually what I call five-dimensional beings, five-dimensional humans. This is what we're reascending to. The Atlanteans were fifth and sixth dimensional. Prior to that was Lemuria, which I also believe was around fifth and sixth dimensional. And again, the numbers aren't as important as the understanding that in our genes, because we are descended from all of this, lies the potential to reactivate amazing gifts. And many of us, and again, I'm sure everyone on this call is already experiencing that to some degree. We're all becoming more empathic. We're becoming more telepathic, clairsentient, opening senses that we were told many times, many of us as children didn't exist. So when we actually got to the pharaohs, and all right, so in Egypt, we had this wonderful Egyptologist who said the pyramids were not built by slave labor, and he had a really good explanation. He also said they're at least 10,000 years old, the pyramids in Giza. There are probably older pyramids around, and pyramids are showing up around the world now. He said they were built through anti-gravitational rods. That immediately drew me in. I'm sure all of you know, you hear something and it's totally different than what you've been taught to believe, but it resonates inside of you in a certain way that you went, you know, oh yeah, that makes sense. So he told us about this right at the beginning. We started out at in Giza and the Sphinx, which is amazing and magical. And he immediately talked about everything being at least 10,000 years old there. But then we traveled throughout Egypt to very, very ancient temples. And the hieroglyphs actually showed there was a hieroglyph in the south of Egypt, Giza's on the north, of two men standing across from each other, holding these rods, and above the rods, these huge stones were hovering. Now that temple was thousands and thousands of years old. There were also spaceships. There are also beings that kind of look like some of a caricature of what we consider to be outer spatials. These are all very ancient. So this was all part of the culture. And so, okay, back 10, 12,000 years. Atlantis falls. That's a big trauma. There's water everywhere. It's probably Noah's Ark. Some people survived. They dispersed. They survived. A lot of people did not survive. The survivors, I think, really went to different parts. And many of our indigenous tribes were actually survivors of that or of Lemuria. Some people, obviously, more indigenous groups were living very simply. They didn't have technology. Other groups, including this, when Credo Mutua talked about the technology of the ancient Africans, that makes us look like our technology is kindergarten. So after all of these earth cataclysms, little by little, there was a dimensional descent. We lost those powers, partly from trauma. And when you go into trauma, you tend to shut down. You tend to shut down the heart. And the heart is key in terms of awakening and in terms of ascending right now. And you go into survival mode. There may have been other factors. But I think that the most important factor is we went through this descent and now we're reversing it. I also think when I was teaching multidimensionality, one time I was doing a little workshop in Illinois, and it suddenly clicked in the middle of a sentence that the biblical fall, and I'm not a big Bible person, but there is some history in there, that the biblical fall probably was a legend of the dimensional descent, except it was already patriarchal, and so they blamed Eve, which, you know, that was classic patriarchal blame the victim. Anyway, here we are. We're in 2021. We know everything's changing. We don't know exactly what that's going to look like. We know we're at a critical place on our planet in terms of climate. We know that the old ways aren't working, the old patriarchal ways. And we're here to awaken and create the new ways, which are a higher octave of the very old ways, if you will. So I want to talk a little bit about our DNA. This sort of fascinates me. Everybody here knows, right? We have 12 strands of DNA. It's double helix. And conventional science says we use two of those strands and the other 10 are junk. I crack up every time I say this. This is like, how can you call 10 of our strands of DNA junk? It makes no sense. And yet this is what conventional science is been teaching. So what's happening is we're awakening, is we're reactivating some of those strands. They're not junk. They went dormant, and they went dormant through trauma and conditioning and witch trials and people being persecuted for speaking a higher dimensional truth. And now there's no more time. We all chose to come back as part of our mission to reawaken this. So I think it happens in two ways. One, it happens at the cellular level. And that's what we did in that opening meditation. Again, when you felt that spaciousness, your cells were lighting up. As our cells light up like that, our DNA starts shifting and the strands become more activated. There's a fascinating, it's really a new area called epigenetics. And it talks a bit, and it's a study of genes. And this is what they know right now about genes, they being people that I actually agree with, as opposed to narrow-minded scientists. But this is scientific. It's more of a cutting-edge science now. They're doing experiments. They found out, of course, that we carry ancestral trauma. And they've done this. There's an experiment where they used mice, I think, and they did some sort of trauma and had a mouse associated with the smell of cherry blossoms. Three or four or five, six generations later, the mice still had an aversion to cherry blossoms. So that was part of how they began to see ancestral trauma keeps on giving, so to speak. But what they know now is that you can deactivate the trauma part of genes, just like we can reactivate our light codes. So through various healing techniques, psychotherapy, creative visualization, you actually can keep a gene from expressing that ancestral trauma. When you do that, you're no longer passing it down. So we're in kind of this twofold process of working through our traumas and deactivating the part of the gene that expresses that. And then again, as I've been saying, simultaneously waking up those genes that open incredible gifts to us. So I'm going to take a breath and I'm going to see if anybody has any questions. Benjamin said he kind of fielded that for me. So let me take a breath here and see if you have any questions.
So anyone with questions can simply unmute themselves. On the computer, of course, that's clicking the little mic with the slash. If you're on a phone, *6 will do it. Just first come, first served. Or you can type a question into the chat window if you prefer. Vivian, hi.
Hi, good morning. Thank you. I just wanted to comment. I'm in Australia and they found evidence that Aboriginal people have been here at least 60,000 years. So that's quite commonly accepted. So that's interesting in terms of the stories about Lemuria and Atlantis and so forth. So, yeah.
Yes.
Changing our history.
Yeah, and that's part of what's so exciting right now. Thank you for sharing that. Because it's always good to have, you know, so-called those facts put out. And the fact that it's considered common knowledge now, at least in Australia, is wonderful. Anybody else?
We have a phone call.
Linda.
Yeah, go ahead.
Linda in Montana would like to know if I'm working on a family issue, then can all of the family down from that point also be benefited?
Well, probably. Okay, I really think that it is. You know, certainly anybody around you is going to be benefited because your frequency, your energy is shifting. If we're really deactivating that expression in the genes, then literally in terms of the genetics of it, we should stop passing that on. Those are the downloads that I'm getting on that. Yes, we can shift that. And then we shift the past. You know, the other piece, which I wasn't going to talk about tonight, but maybe we should talk a little about this, is time. Where in 3D, time is very linear, past, present, future. But as soon as you get into the fourth dimension and above, time is simultaneous. So that means that what we've experienced as a past life is still going on, and what we in our future lives are still going on. With future lives, I believe we can kind of pick and choose. So given that idea, we actually not only affect the future, but we affect many generations back. And what we know is everything's energy, everything's frequency. So why not? Of course we can do that. Okay. Any other questions?
Yeah, we have three questions queued up in the chat. Judith, do you prefer me to read those out loud or would you prefer to read those yourself?
Oh, if you'd read them to me, that'd be great. I get too distracted if I can't read.
So first, Laura asks, I think you answered this, but she says, so if there is ancestral trauma and you have children, would it help deactivate it from them also?
Okay. Yeah, and absolutely. Because also, if you know, your children are going to sense your own deactivation, and that's going to help. It's tricky because they also have their own journey, and we're so much in this transitional phase, and we don't know how long this phase is going to last. It could be several hundred years. It could be like a big transition in the next 50 or 100. You know, that's an unknown. But I absolutely think that it's going to have a positive effect. To what degree, I can't tell you.
Lisa wants to know, can reawakening these DNA codes help heal the body where it might be holding unconscious trauma that's showing up physically in your body?
Yes. And we want to do our best to bring that into consciousness. And I'm going to talk about the resistances because, and again, I know, Benjamin, you work with the shadow, and the shadow is all about bringing unconscious material that we're trying not to look at into consciousness. When we bring that material into consciousness, it loses some of its power over us. If it's unconscious, it has more power because we don't know what we're dealing with. So we have the potential to absolutely heal our bodies. And that's not to say not to use resources. I have a friend that healed cancer through quantum, using the quantum theory, but she had a healer that helped her. And there's so many new modalities that are coming in. I received an email yesterday from a woman that's putting on a summit. She's a quantum sound healer. You know, there's numerous new ways that probably are based on very ancient ways that we're beginning to have access to. So yes, this, as you awaken that, you will both know your own, through your own inner healer, but also the universe, you'll magnetize the people that you need to help you. However, asking, what is this from? What is this pain? What does this mean? Journaling on it, going through, you know, a breath work on it, other modalities that help you bring unconscious material into awareness, good therapy. Then, again, you've already disempowered some of the illness. I will say, though, that sometimes there's a karmic connection to it. I personally think that karma is just here to help us learn our lesson, so to speak. We don't have to suffer with it. And so either there's a decision that your soul made to experience this for whatever reason, not to punish yourself, but perhaps in some ways to learn something about the body, to help other people. I mean, there's a multitude of possibilities. But yes, as we light up those codes, as we reclaim who we are, what we perceive of as disease, which is all from imbalance, is going to ultimately disappear. Was there another question?
Vivian is back. Did you have something to ask, Vivian?
I just wanted to say around the sound that I've been doing some ancestral healing work, and I've found that singing to the ancestors is an extraordinary experience, like quite spontaneously singing. And I'm no singer, you know, in a normal sense. So, yeah, I just found that interesting.
Yes, I love that. And that's the thing, is that what we find is, if we just allow spontaneously, yeah, right, we'll be guided. You'll start singing, you'll hum, you'll dance, you'll do whatever, because we know deep inside, in that core part of ourselves, our souls know what it is we most need. We just have to get out of the way. And that is, of course, the hardest part. Okay. So I guess we'll go, let me see if I want to connect with anything here first. Oh, I talked a little bit about, and I don't think I'm going to go into detail on it, but we are so vast. Okay. You all know this. We've been conditioned with a very narrow broadband, a narrow broadband of perception. And as we wake up, that broadband gets bigger and bigger. And we still have, I'm quite convinced, quite a ways to go. But what we learn is that we are multidimensional, that being stuck in 3D is sort of an illusion that we don't need to keep perpetuating. And so this whole ascension, I'm sure you've all tuned into these words, are really about going out of being a 3D human into 5D. If I were had another 5 hours, I'd explain it's really as 3D, 4D humans into 5D, 6D. But that's a little too detailed, I think, for what we're going to do tonight. But the vertical axis that I use is from Barbara Hanclough's work, and she got this directly from the Pleiadians. And to me, it's, you know, I know people go, I'm from the 26th dimension. I don't know about those dimensions, folks, and I'm not saying you're not. But just to be more grounded, okay, here we are on planet Earth. Earth right now is manifesting in 3D. All humans have the ability to manifest nine dimensions of consciousness. The first dimension is in the crystal iron core of the Earth. And the ninth dimension is galactic center. And they're all vibrational. Okay, and they all have their own intelligences. So it's not like 3D is less intelligent than 6D, for instance, but it has a different function. We have the ability as humans to vibrate on all nine dimensions. I see it as nesting dolls. So we have, you know, those Russian nesting dolls we have inside of us. We would have our 2D nesting doll and our 1D nesting doll. 2D is right below the surface of the Earth. Body here is 3D, although maybe my light body is 5D. And then the nesting dolls continue to go out. And when you get to 9D, you're basically galactic. Okay, you're in galactic center. And at this point in our evolution, we're moving into our fifth dimensional frequency. And that's when we reawaken and start using all 12 strands of our DNA. It's also where we actually do activate our light body. At this stage in our development, that's probably as far as most of us can go. And maybe in 1,000 years, we'll all be activating nine dimensions. Maybe less, I don't know. But we also have a horizontal axis, and that's our other lifetimes. In 3D, of course, we call it past, and we call it future. And our soul holds all of this experience. And has the ability to hold it. And while we don't have to remember all of it, we have the option. The way I see the horizontal axis is that there are many, many gifts that we have that we've put out in different lifetimes. Many times we've pushed those gifts down for a variety of reasons, but basically through trauma. And now we have the option of reclaiming those gifts. So reclaiming those magnificent parts of ourselves. And then we have the trauma parts from other lifetimes. It took me 30 years, and I'm still working on it, on one particular lifetime. When I was young, when I was in my 20s and 30s, put me in front of a group, I could always talk, I could always teach, I could put together a workshop in probably an all-day workshop in half an hour. And then I published my first book in my early 40s, and I started getting scared. All of this fear started arising that I had never had before. Well, I found out this lifetime that it came from, and how much it kept me holding my work back. So I'm not alone. Okay, I suspect, again, many, if not all of you can relate to this in some way. So there are past life traumas that we have to work at healing. I'm saying past life, there are other lives that our soul is carrying in order for us, again, to be free enough to step out at full potential. Okay. So we're vast, we're amazing, we're beginning to reconnect with all of that. And then come up the resistances. And this is why I wanted you to have your journals tonight, because I'm going to talk about just some common resistances. And I'm actually what I'm, or you can write it on a piece of paper if you want to do it on your device, it doesn't matter. But I'm going to list them, and I'd like you to write them down or type them out in some way. And then we're going to go back through them very quickly, and you'll see the point I'm making. But anyway, first resistance is fear of taking full responsibility for our lives. When we step into the awareness with all those light codes activated that we create our reality, we totally create it, consciously or unconsciously. If we're going to do it consciously, we can make it any way we want. That means we have to step into full responsibility for our lives. That's very different than how we've been trained. We're supposed to listen to somebody that knows better as opposed to stepping into our own divinity. And so that can be pretty scary. That means we really have to be full spiritual adults. It's also very wonderful. Okay. But that's one of the resistances that people have. Attachment to suffering. This is one I could go on and on about. There's a myth in our culture, and it's been in our culture again for many thousands of years, that somehow this is the earth, this place you're supposed to be struggling and suffering. And maybe you'll go to heaven and that'll all pay off. I don't know if you're familiar with Gurdjieff. He was a early 1900s, I think. He was a philosopher, metaphysical philosopher from Russia or that area. And I had read his autobiography or Conversations with Him, I think it was called, many, 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 actually decades ago. He said this one thing that I've never forgotten. He said, humans are most attached to their suffering. That's what it's hardest for them to let go of. And so this is another very deeply ingrained resistance. Whoa, something's wrong if I'm not suffering. Somehow I'm overlooking something, or I'm not really being human, or whatever the belief system is. So attachment to suffering is another big resistance. Guilt. When I was writing my latest book, I was looking at breaking through, you know, ceilings of belief, how we hold ourselves back. And I identified something that I called thriver's guilt, which is, hey, my life is going great. I haven't had to struggle. I've had challenges, of course. Wait a second. Does that like make me, is that unfair because you're going through struggles? Well, I feel kind of guilty because I have it so good. So that's one form of guilt we carry. Another form of guilt is feeling we've misused power in another lifetime. So guilt can be a very big, big resistance that comes up. Most of us as children were trained to believe that somehow we were responsible for all the craziness of our parents, okay, that we couldn't fix because we were kids. That also programs in guilt. Never being good enough. All of those messages program in guilt, and guilt is a resistance. It comes up as resistance as we're beginning to step into that lighter, brighter version of ourselves. So to know it's there and to know that we have the ability to transform it little by little, we're still human, is important, again, to bring it into awareness. Shame is another resistance. Guilt and shame are not natural feelings. Natural feelings are anger, sadness, fear, joy, and love. Guilt and shame are programmed. They're conditioned. We're not born that way. Although we may carry some soul patterning. Shame is a belief that somehow we're defective. So if we believe we're defective, how are we going to step into that magnificence? So again, identifying this shame is really important to be able to go the next step, which is the transformation of it. Let's see what I've left out here. Oh, attachment to comfort and familiarity. If we really want to reclaim who we are meant to be, we've got to be willing to shake our lives up a little bit. We have to be willing to step out of our comfort zone. I don't believe we have to jump off the high cliff at first. It's okay to just jump the 3-foot or 4-foot cliff and practice flying, but you got to do something. If you stay within your safe, easy rules, whether you love them or not, they're familiar, they're safe, they feel safe, you can't fully reclaim who you are. So another resistance is this attachment to comfort and familiarity. Another resistance is fear of misuse of power, and that typically comes from other lifetimes. Could come from this lifetime, from manipulations. Fear from other lifetimes, which I've talked about. And then fear of being all alone, fear of being kicked out of the tribe. Oh my God, I'm going to answer this weird stuff. I won't have any friends. You know, my partner will leave me, or I won't be able to stand him or her anymore. I can't go there. It's just too weird. And again, while everybody here has stepped out of that conventional mode, there still may be places you hold yourself back. And it's good to, again, bring that into consciousness, to be aware of that. Okay, so if you have that written down, what I'm going to do is I'm going to name them one by one, and I want you to answer this very simple question with the first thing that pops into your mind. So have your pencils or whatever you're going to write with handy. What percentage of you is afraid to take full responsibility in your life? First thing that pops in, just write it down. What percentage of you is attached to suffering and struggle? First thing that comes in, just write it down. What percentage of you is attached to guilt or lets guilt invade your life? First thing that comes, just write it down. What percent of you is held back by shame? Again, first thing that comes in. It's not to think about it, just let it pop in. What percentage of you is held back by your attachment to comfort and familiarity? First thing that pops in. What percentage of you is afraid of misusing your power? First thing that comes in. What percentage of you is holding back from experiences in other lifetimes? First thing that comes in. And lastly, what percentage of you is afraid that you'll end up all alone if you really step into being your full radiant self? First thing that pops in. And of course, don't worry about them coming to 100%. And you might get different percentages different times. But I wanted you to do it quickly, because I wanted, when we do it quickly like that, the mind doesn't have the a time to take over. What it does instead, you get much more of the unconscious to come forward. Whichever you've put the highest percentages on, you may choose after this or tomorrow or whenever to dialogue with that part, okay? And see if you can collect more information, which allows you to step into a place where you can ultimately transform them. Okay. Questions or comments about that?
I have a question.
Yes.
My name is Marla, and my camera's not on. I hope that's okay. My question is, when it comes to the dialogue, do you have a set of questions that you normally ask to do the dialogue?
That's a great question. I'll give you a couple. All right. You ask that part, why they're like that. What are they trying to do for you? And then you can sort of create questions that are similar to that. You want to really find out what their function is so that ultimately you can give them a different job description. Usually those parts really think they're helping us with our survival in some way. So we want to sort of get the story. We want to ask questions to get their story. So hopefully that helps, Marla.
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Okay, great. Okay. Well, any other questions or comments?
I had a quick question. The way you're talking about the parts, I'm curious if this, what you're doing, is at all influenced by internal family systems therapy?
I know you're into that, Benjamin. I think those all kind of arose at a similar time about in the 70s and 80s, mm-hmm. Where people began to separate out parts of the self. That's where the inner child work kind of came through. Mm-hmm. So it didn't come from internal family systems, but those all kind of began to originate together, if you will. Probably we pulled it down from the collective unconscious.
Okay, cool.
But it is the same. It's the same principle, essentially.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. So I want to talk a little bit about what I call the 5D global team. So we're waking up and we're activating our 5D frequency and we're lighting up some of those dormant DNA strands. We're shifting on us and we're lighting up new parts of our genes to start re-expressing themselves. So what does this look like globally? Because as Benjamin said when he read my bio, I mean, my passion, while I work with individuals, and of course each and every one of us deserves to have a loving, joyful life, but there's a higher mission here as well, which is to create a planet that supports that for all life on the planet, okay? So for me, I like the term that we're all part of this 5D global team. And we have teammates we haven't met in this lifetime. Maybe we haven't, maybe our souls never have connected with these individuals. But all over the earth, people are waking up and holding a frequency and understanding, because part of the stepping into this fifth dimensional frequency is unity consciousness. We are all interconnected. There is no separation. And so when you begin to connect and understand, there's like this huge hologram of creation. And it's the more we input love, the more we input higher consciousness, the more that shows up on our planet. And each of us are like little unique cells in that huge organism. We all have an individual role to play, and it might be a big public role, or it might be a great gardener, or, you know, raise a child, or do something with animals that no one's ever done before. I mean, it can be something very simple and behind the scenes, or it can be something very public and big. It's all the same. We're all here to make our contribution. And of course, we know if we're making our contribution because it feels great. There may be some fear, but, you know, once you get through the fear, it's like, whoa, there's such a sense of alignment, of inner alignment. So part of what we're going to do in the closing meditation is really tune into being part of this 5D global team. Let's see if there's anything else I wanted to say on it. I don't think so. I think that's probably it. And if there are no questions or comments, I'm going to go into the final meditation. It's somewhat long. It's probably not more than 5 minutes. when you come out of the meditation, I'm going to give you just a little bit of time to jot down any big insights or experiences that came through for you. And then we'll close out. If a few of you want to share, we can close out that way. Okay, so if nobody's, you know, unmuting, we'll just go into that meditation after I have some water. Okay, so if you will, just go ahead and close your eyes again. And get yourself as comfortable as you can. Focusing deeply on your breath so that you become acutely aware as you exhale. And totally aware as you inhale. Again, on the exhale, releasing any distractions, releasing any concerns, using the breath to allow you to get deeper and deeper into your bodies, into a state of relaxation. And on the inhale, once again, pulling in those golden spirals of light. Pulling them in, filled with love, filled with consciousness, and dispersing to every cell in your body. Continuing to use that breath. Focusing continually on the exhale and on the inhale. I'd like you to imagine now that you're on a pristine beach, maybe a beach you've been to, or one that you create in your imagination. Perhaps it's a beach with that beautiful white sand. And it's a beautiful day. The waves are crashing to the shore. You're listening to their sounds. You're listening to the birds calling and cawing. You're paying attention to the visual beauty, the colors, the shapes, the horizon far back on the ocean, the blue of the sky. The sun is brilliant and it's warming your hair and warming your skin. And there's also a breeze so that there's a sense of coolness while you're also warm. It's a great comfort. You feel the sand under your feet. It's not too hot. You sift around in it and feel its energy and walk into the ocean. Feel the bottoms of your feet as the sand gets moist. Perhaps you want to move in a little bit deeper. Perhaps you want to put your palms down on the ground, under the water, so you can feel the energy there. Some of you might want to just jump in the waves, swim around. You might want to just sit and let the waves come up on your legs. Just spend a moment doing whatever feels fun, whatever really connects you in this beautiful place. Maybe you'll see a dolphin. Maybe you'll notice some special fragrances. Now I'd like you to come back on the shore. You might have a very large towel or some kind of mat that you can lay down on. And feel fully comfortable. The sun's not so hot that you need to block it right now. Just lie down on your mat and again, tune into the breath. allowing that breath to get deeper and deeper. Feeling the earth supporting your back. Just feel her energy, her power, her wisdom. Just let that all begin to seep into you, into all your cells. Perhaps you'll begin to feel some warmth and consciousness that's actually being emitted from the core of the earth. Perhaps you'll feel that consciousness through the light of the sun and the photons that are also being beamed to earth right now. And again, just breathe into this, just feel it. Now I'd like you to imagine that each cell in your body has a little tiny solar panel on it. And as you lie on this pristine beach, every cell in your body is becoming energized, activated by these light photons, by this light filled with higher consciousness. Some of you might begin to feel very big, very spacious. Maybe you're taking up the whole beach. Maybe your energy field feels as if it's spreading around the globe. That's fine. There's plenty of room for all of us. Just luxuriate in this feeling. And realize that these photons and the energy waves that are being emitted from the center of the earth and are now coursing through your body have activated new areas of your DNA that have been dormant and now are ready to become awake. And as that's happening, you begin to sense that you're seeing the world now through the eyes of your fifth dimensional nesting doll of your fifth dimensional expression. And as that happens, you might want to send love to that smaller 3D part of yourself that's had to maneuver a lot of your life on the earth. And then as you're ready, tune back into the energy of every one of your cells. They're vibrating very quickly. It might feel as if you're getting a cellular massage. You might find yourself in a state of remarkable ease. Just allow yourself to drop into this feeling. Notice how your heart feels more expanded. How joy is beginning to fill each and every cell in your body. And allow yourself just for now to surrender to this ecstasy. In your mind's eye, I want you to see yourself as part of our 5D global team. And send love to all of your teammates. And if you're unclear about your particular role, go ahead and ask the wisdom that resides in your cells, and most especially in the cells in your heart, what it is that you're really here to do. What is your unique contribution? And then listen quietly as answers come forth. And take a few more minutes and see yourself walking through your daily life, emitting this frequency, emitting this energy, fully activated in your 5D humanness and just spreading love and joy wherever you go. Whenever this feels complete, you can slowly sit up on the beach and thank Mother Earth and Father Sky for all the love, the support and wisdom they bring your way. Thank the oceans and the sands and the birds. And then as you're ready, slowly leave the beach. Return to your rooms. You might want to use some deep centered breaths to help you come back into your body, into your room, into our Zoom call. Wiggling your fingers and wiggling your toes. Sometimes if you've gotten really spacious, it helps to just put your hand on the top of your head. It's a bit of a grounding. And if you want, take a few minutes and just jot down what that experience was like for you. Go ahead and finish the sentence you're working on. You might want to jot down a few words, some things you want to make sure you don't forget. And then I want you to ponder if there's something you want to share, if there's something that feels important to say out loud from your experience. And if so, again, I guess unmute so Benjamin will know, or else put it in the chat, share.
I got some good stuff.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I've been contemplating reducing the quantity of my newsletter and podcast to give more time for my Awakening Plus activities, and how to get more contractors to support me. And that all came through as a very powerful, yes, go ahead and do that. So
it's great.
Really helpful confirmation for me. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you, because that helps us all, Benjamin. So anybody else want to share?
Yeah, and if anyone wants to share, just unmute yourself by clicking the slash over the mic, or if you're on a phone, star six will do it. We'll also take questions that are typed in the chat window, if anyone's so inspired.
I'll just say, this is Marla again. That was wonderful. My cells felt really open. Like, I love the visual of the cells having solar panels. So I'll be using that again. And just in general, all the information you shared is really beneficial for my process. And I think for our group, since we love this kind of stuff. So it was just perfect. And I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for the feedback, Marla. The solar panels were not mine. That's not original. It actually came from a talk that I heard. Some show on Gaia, I can't remember what it was, but it was a woman who, from a very, very young age, was multidimensional, and she was just like fully into it. And she talked about the solar panels being able to pull in all the photon wisdom. So it's a beautiful image, and I don't want to take credit for what's not mine. But, you know, we're all part of each other, so it really is all of ours.
Exactly. Thank you.
Sharon typed that she thanks you. She had a profound epiphany and she hopes that she can live up to it.
Actually, let me speak into that. We're human. I don't care how evolved we are at this stage. We're in transition. And so learning to go gently with ourselves is really important. We can always see ahead of what we're fully able to embody. Okay, that's part of this growth process. And we're also not, we don't grow in a linear way. We grow in a spiral, but part of the spiral is you have to go back down a rung before you go back up. So a lot of times, even though it's a higher rung, that feeling when you contract after a lot of expansion, you have to go back down that rung a little bit. We have been programmed to think that means somehow we're not doing it right. And that's not the truth. We're doing it right. We're doing it certainly the best we can. And this is a process. So do go easy on yourself.
See, Ellen, did you have something you wanted to say?
Yes. Hi, Benjamin. Hi, Judith. Mm-hmm. While I was at the beach, of which we're going to very soon down in Mexico, I went out into the water. And while floating there, it just seemed like the whole cosmos of the universe was there. Could you explain what that means a little bit more for me?
Well, I'll say a little bit. You know, I imagine you've all heard a unit of experience where you're suddenly one with everything. And that sounds like part of what you experienced, Helen, that being in that full relaxation on the water allowed you to just open in a way that going through day-to-day life makes it more difficult. And you just, this cosmic experience, you became one.
Just one. So it was beautiful.
That's what it sounds like to me. Okay. Glad you experienced that.
See Thank you Sunday. For sharing.
Oh, yeah. I can't see you, Ellen. But
I know. I didn't mute.
I'm Ellen.
Okay.
She's okay.
I hit the wrong button when I came in and I couldn't get back out. So I just left it on that. But thank you.
All right. Ellen is a student and I'm running a class on my book, Activating Your 5D Frequency. So we do a lot of this in the class.
Maureen typed, thank you, Judith. I felt many wonderful things, including a warm aliveness.
All right. Okay, that's it, guys. So walk with this, share this. We're all in this together. This is part of this global team. And every time one of us has that kind of experience, it plugs into that hologram and we help everyone. So really, the more joyful we are, the more we help the world. Not to guilt trip us when we're feeling, you know, cranky, because that's part of the experience as well. But to know that that joy is not only something to, not to feel guilty about it. It helps everybody. So shall I wrap up, Benjamin? Does that feel like we're at that closing space?
It feels good. Again, how can people get hold of you if they want further depth with you?
Okay. My website is empoweringthespirit.com. You can sign up for my newsletter, which, by the way, I would love you to do, because even though I've been able to get on a lot of summits really synchronistically, I don't have the numbers that they want. And so sometimes that keeps me from being able to put this out more to the world. So if you want to subscribe, that'd be great. You'll get a free downloadable soul contracts meditation. I said that the other night too. Meditation, but you know, it is medicine. You'll also see what I'm offering. And if you sign up for my newsletter, you will get reminders of what I'm offering. I don't send out a huge number of emails, so you won't get bombarded with anything daily or weekly. But I would love to have you join. And I want to say this was a great group. Every time I do things like this, I get so excited because I really can feel the awakening, and I can feel all of us in here doing this together. And again, pretty much all our souls have chosen to come back for this experience. So thank you all. Benjamin, thank you so much for inviting me. Thanks, Spirit, for nudging you. I loved that. And feel free to get in touch, folks.
Thank you very much, Judith. And for those of you who are guests tonight and not yet members of Awakening Plus, you can learn all about this membership at awakeningplus.com. We have a whole variety of benefits for a super low price, and we're doing a $1 for 30-day membership trial if you want to check it out. So feel free to investigate if you're so inspired. And again, one more time, Judith's site is empoweringthespirit.com if you'd like to get her free soul contracts meditation and learn more about her awesome work. And again, her new book is awesome. Tell us the title one more time of the new book.
Activating Your 5D Frequency.
Yeah, awesome book. I really loved it.
Thank you, Benjamin. Okay, all have a wonderful evening or day, depending on what part of the globe you're on. And again, thank you for joining me tonight.
Okay, thanks again, Judith. So glad to have you.
Thanks, Benjamin. Anytime. Okay. All right. I'm going to sign off.
All right. And good night, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us. Be well.